Hey everyone, welcome back to the Honors Element. It's Ben here, and today Morgan and I are unpacking, no pun intended, the particle in a box problem, which is one of those models that sounds kind of abstract until you see how many things it actually explains.
Yeah, and before we get caught up in the math, let's start with what makes quantum mechanics tick: boundary conditions. This is one of those places where the Schrödinger equation gives you an ocean of possible answers, but the boundary conditions are like the rules that fence that ocean in. They're what make the solutions actually match something real.
Classic example, if you're solving for the wave function of a particle that's boxed in, it physically has zero chance of being outside those walls, so the wave function has got to be zero at the edges. If you skip those requirements, you'd get answers that don't actually work for the problem you're trying to solve.
Right, and this brings up a weird but cool part of quantum mechanics. It's all about probability, not just that we don't know something yet, but that nature itself is fundamentally statistical at this scale. We don't get to say, the particle is definitely here. We can only talk about the probability of finding it somewhere.
Yeah, it might sound unsettling. I mean, Einstein himself never really made peace with it. He wanted nature to be more predictable, but quantum mechanics kind of says, sorry, this is as good as it gets. So anytime you're dealing with a quantum problem, the measurements you get are probabilistic, not deterministic. You can have the best theory, the best experiment, and at the end of the day, you're still working with statistical distributions.
So today, we'll see how these boundary conditions, paired with that statistical logic, lead to some really specific outcomes for the particle in a box. And honestly, it's a great window into how all of quantum chemistry works. Just remember, every step in this math is tied back to these physical constraints.
All right, so let's paint a mental picture. Imagine a particle, like an electron, stuck between two infinitely high walls, so it can move between, say, x equals 0 and x equals L, some length. There's just no chance that it ever shows up beyond those boundaries. The math way to say that is PSI. The wave function is 0 at both ends.
And inside the box, the potential energy is actually just zero. So the only thing dictating the behavior is kinetic energy, kind of like a bead sliding freely back and forth on a wire. That makes the Schrödinger equation a lot simpler in this case.
Yep, so the equation ends up looking like a classic differential equation. And if you remember from calculus, the general solution for this kind of second derivative equals the negative of a constant times the original function is a mix of sine and cosine waves. But here's the thing. The boundary conditions actually chop out the cosine part because the cosine of zero is not zero, but the wave function has to be zero at x equals zero. So all you're left with is a sine function.
Which means our general solution for the wave function looks something like a times sine of k times x, with a being some constant we'll figure out later. But we also need psi to be 0 when x is L, at the other end of the box. The sine function hits 0 whenever its argument is a multiple of pi, so that actually forces k to specific values. Again, no more, no less.
Right, so mathematically you get k times L is equal to npi, where n is 1, 2, 3, and so on. Only those integer values for n give non-trivial solutions. If n was 0, psi would be 0 everywhere, no particle in the box at all, and negative n just duplicates the same physical state, so you could skip them. This is where quantization comes in. Only specific energies are allowed.
Exactly. From this, you end up with discrete energy levels, and each one relates to a specific standing wave inside the box. The energies themselves, well, they're proportional to n squared. And the wave functions, we normalize them just to make sure the total probability of finding the particle somewhere in the box is exactly 100%.
And it's kind of fun, actually, because you can plot these wave functions as standing waves. Each higher n has more bounces or nodes inside the box. It's exactly like a plucked guitar string, which, by the way, is another system dictated by boundary conditions. If you listen to our earlier episode on atomic line spectra, we talked a lot about quantized energy, and here's exactly how that emerges from the math.
There's just something elegant about seeing that the math and the experiment line up, discrete jumps, discrete levels. The boundary conditions don't only make the solution physical, they create the whole quantized vibe of quantum mechanics. All right, so now that we've got the wave functions and energy levels, what do they actually mean? physically. Let's tackle that idea of probability density, PSI squared. This is where quantum really gets different from classical. Psi squared tells you the likelihood of finding the particle at a particular point in the box. It's literally what a measurement will look like over many trials.
For example, in the ground state, which is n equals 1, the probability is maximum right in the middle of the box and 0 at the edges. If you move to n equals 2, the probability is split into two peaks, and there's actually a dead zone, a node, in the center where the probability is 0. The number of nodes always comes out to n minus 1, which is a pattern that pops up everywhere, from simple boxes to the hydrogen atom orbitals.
Nodes are sort the energy ladder. More nodes means more energy. And this idea is crucial, because it lets you connect back to real physical systems. Again, take Batadian's pi electrons. You can model them as particles in a box stretched across the length of that carbon chain. The calculations give you actual numbers for where the electrons are most likely to hang out and why certain molecular transitions happen the way they do.
And it goes even further. Scientists have actually assembled chains of atoms on surfaces and measured the probability densities of the electrons using scanning tunneling microscopy, or STM. The patterns map almost perfectly onto the PSI squared plots from our simple particle in a box model. More nodes for higher energies, just as predicted. It's wild to see theory match experiments so directly.
So, to loop things back, the particle in a box model shows how boundary conditions, quantization, and probability come together to give real answers that you can apply. It's simple in the math, but the implications get huge, from understanding chemical bonds to nanowires and quantum dots. If you're feeling overwhelmed, that's normal. I know I certainly was not only when I took quantum mechanics, but also during my first time as a teaching assistant for this course. It takes practice to see the connection, but you've got this.
Definitely, and thanks for staying with us as we worked through one of the real pillars of quantum chemistry. Next episode, we'll keep building on this, so keep your questions coming. Morgan, always a pleasure chatting through quantum strangeness with you.
Thanks, Ben, and thank you to everyone listening. See you next time on the Honors Element.